turn now in your Bible for our reading of the text for the message. Turning again to Numbers chapter 27. And we had covered on last week verses 1 through 11. And so we pick up this morning in verse 12 and begin to read Numbers 27 and verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this mount, Abarim, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That is the water of Meribah, in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua, and he set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him, and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And so we turn in a moment to that text for our study. But before we do, if you turn again, turn back now. Turn back now in your Bible, if you will, to Numbers. And we have come to this 27th chapter in our study. And on last week, we saw the great lessons that were to be learned from those daughters of Israel in verses 1 through 11. And I hope you saw there all that I said and more to be learned from those gracious women, the daughters of Israel who came before Moses. Now this week, we move on to verse 12 and following, to what you might call the closing chapter, as it were, of Moses' ministry to Israel. The passing of the torch, the extinguishing of a star, whatever terminology you choose, it is always bittersweet when a great man who has been used greatly by God is removed and replaced with another. Bittersweet, I say, when such a day comes. I've often thought of the passing of many men in my own lifetime who were on the scene and moved off the scene. The great Dr. Lee Robertson, notwithstanding his theology, what a great man, a man that embodied all the attributes of a man's greatness in human form, leader par excellence, man of faith, vision, compassion, and conviction. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., for which a university still remains as a testament of the man's great vision and strength of character and stamina and faith. Great men pass off the scene. Right here in Georgia, even another, I believe, a Christian man, but known for his success in the world of law and politics, Benjamin Hill, the greatest, one of the greatest, arguably one of the greatest orators ever produced by the United States of America. One of us all have said that he is definitely in that star of the top five greatest orators, along with Webster and Calhoun. Benjamin Hill, right here from Georgia. Practiced law right over here in LaGrange, Georgia. The largest bronze statue on the grounds of our state capitol is the statue of Benjamin Hill. And if he is not in our history textbooks for our children, we need to put him there. Probably one of the greatest statesmen that ever lived, helped steer the state of Georgia and the southern states during that crisis for war of southern independence. Benjamin Hill, the great speaker. What a great man and a Christian. Last words that he spoke, could barely whisper. Cancer had eaten his entire throat out. But just before he passed over to the other side, he's tried to speak and they bent over him close to put an ear to his lips, and he whispered these words, "Almost home." Great men pass from the scene, and now it is time for this great man in Israel's life to pass. But none of those that I've mentioned before compared with this man Moses, the great Savior of Israel. Moses, remember how God described him in Numbers chapter 12 here in this same book. You remember how God described this great man. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6. The Lord described him in this way. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I'll speak to him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so, who's faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Whereof then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" There is a great man. God describes him. He says, if there's prophets among you, I'll speak to them. I'll speak in dreams and visions, but not this man. I'll speak to this man mouth to mouth, and he'll see my similitude. Here, surely, is a great man in Israel. But now God comes to him, and it is time for this mighty pillar in Israel to be removed. First, this morning, I want us to notice what God says to Moses. And later, we will see what Moses says to God. First, what God says to Moses, verse 12. "And the Lord said to Moses, get thee up into the mount of Abarim and see the land which I've given to the children of Israel." God says to Moses, "I'm going to show you the land. I'm going to let you see it. You will not have struggled in vain. You have not toiled for Israel in vain. You have not battled and labored and wept and prayed and suffered this people and taught them and carried them day and night for nothing. I'm going to reward you. I'm going to take you up. And before you die, you're going to the top of one more mountain. And I'm going to let you see the blessings I have for my people. God speaks to Moses, and he speaks to him of the matter of reward. God will always reward. God will be the debtor to no man. And so God speaks to Moses and says to him, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to take you up. I'm going to show you that city. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Moses will die. But oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Oh, there'll be none. Because he has swallowed up death. And he has given victory over the grave, and he will reward his saints with that view. Notice in the bulletin I titled this message, The Beatific Vision. He will give Moses a view over into the land. He'll take him to the top of the mountain. God speaks to Moses and says, go, I'll take you to the top of the mountain, and I'll show you the land. Oh, listen to me. Young and old alike, listen to me. One day you'll face the day that Moses has faced in verse 12, where God says to him, it's going to be over now. You're going to be done. Verse 13, when you've seen it, you'll be gathered to your people. This is the end of the life of this great man of God. Before he goes, he says, the Lord says, I'll take you to the top of the mountain. And you'll look over into the land. Oh, how gloriously immortal John Bunyan grasped this image in his mind and puts pen to paper and describes the dear old pilgrim as he gets ready to leave. He's going to part this world now. He's journeyed and he's walked with the Lord. And now he's going to cross over the river. The immortal Bunyan penned these words. Listen to them. Listen to these words, children. Now I saw in my dream that by this time the pilgrims were got over the enchanted ground and were entering into the country of Beulah, whose air was so very sweet and pleasant and was lying directly through it that they solaced themselves there for a season. Now this is before Pilgrim has crossed the river. Listen, he's looking across to Beulah. Yea, here they heard continually the singing of birds, and they saw every day the flowers appear in the earth, and they heard the voice of the turtle dove in the land. In this country the sun shineth night and day. Wherefore this was beyond the valley of the shadow of death, and it was also out of the reach of giant despair. You remember him? Got old Pilgrim down there in the dungeon? Oh, but listen, he's fixing the cross. He's looking over into Beulah, and he's beyond giant despair now. Neither could they from this place so much as see Doubting Castle. And here they were within the sight of the city. They were going to also, here they met them, some of the inhabitants thereof. For in this land the shining ones commonly walked, because it was upon the borders of heaven. And in this land also the contract between the bride and the bridegroom was renewed. Yea, here, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so did their God rejoice over them. And here they had no need of corn or wine, for in this place they met with abundance of what they had sought in for in all their pilgrimage. And here they heard the voices from out of the city, loud voices saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, his reward is with him." And here all the inhabitants of the country called them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Bunyan says, "Now as they walked, listen, in this land, I can picture Moses treading this ground. As they walked in this land, they had more rejoicing than in parts more remote from the kingdom to which they were bound. Drawing now to the city, they had yet a more perfect view thereof. God said to Moses, I'll take you up. I'll let you look over in it." Bunyan said, on this ground they had a more perfect view. And it was builded of pearls and precious stones, and also the street thereof was paved with gold, so that by reason of the natural glow of the city and the reflection of the sunbeams upon it, Christian was with desire fell sick. Oh, he longed to be there. His heart fell sick with desire, and Hopeful, his traveling companion, also had a fit or two of the same disease. Wherefore here they lay by for a while, crying out because of their pains, and they said in the words of Song of Solomon, "If you find my beloved, tell him that I'm sick of love." But being a little strengthened and better able to bear their sickness, they walked on their way, and they came yet nearer and nearer, where were orchards and vineyards and gardens, and their gates opened into the highway. And as they came up to these places, behold, there was a gardener that stood in the way, to whom the pilgrim said, "Whose goodly vineyards and gardens are these?" And he said, "Oh, they're the king's. They are the king's, and they're planted here for his own delight and also for the solace of pilgrims." So the gardener had them into the vineyards and bid them refresh themselves with the dainties. He also showed them there the king's walks, the arbors where he delighted to be, and here they tarried and slept. Oh, the vision, the vision, the vision. God says to Moses, "I'm going to take you up, Moses, on the mountain, and I'm going to let you look over in the land." I think it's true that many as a pilgrim, God allows them to see across a river before they go in. Later in there, later in that description, as he goes in the river and all the struggles. But oh, listen, later in the description, Bunyan says, they came out on the other side and they left everything mortal behind in the river. They went in with their body, but they came out without it. Hallelujah! And two shining ones were waiting on the other side. They went in with their bodies, the temporal, but they left it behind in the river. I think often God allows the saints to look across into the beautiful city. God took Moses up in verse 12. He said, "Get thee up into this mountain and see the land I'll give to Israel." Oh, but listen to this. Secondly, I want you to know that this place that Moses is in, it's a place of vision, but it's a place, secondly, it's a lonely place. Oh, it's a lonely place. Listen to these beautiful words in verse 13. "And when thou hast seen it, thou also shall be gathered unto thy people." Bunyan captured it well. I'll not read, although I truly believe that a preacher these days a man of God could do nothing better for a people than to stand and read Bunyan. But Bunyan captured it this way. He said that there were two shining ones, met them, carried them down to the river, pilgrim and hopeful. But oh, when they got in the water, they said, "We can't help you here. You're going to have to trust Him. Trust Him. And the more you trust Him, the more shallow you'll find the waters." And dear old pilgrim walked in, and oh, he thought he'd drown. But when he got out on the other side, those two were waiting for him. They were two shining ones, were standing waiting on the other bank. But oh, listen, they had to cross the river alone. This is a lonely place. It's a lonely place to be gathered. But what a beautiful thought. Oh, listen, what a beautiful thought this is. Verse 13, "Thou also shalt be gathered." Isn't that a beautiful expression? To be gathered. We gather flowers, don't we? We gather fruit. All to be gathered. Moses, he says, you're going to look over in the land and then you're going to be gathered to your people. What a wonderful expression. How often God uses it of other men in the Bible. You remember in Genesis chapter 25, he said this about Abraham in Genesis chapter 25. Look what the Bible says in verse 8. He said, "Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. An old man and full of years." And listen, "and was gathered to his people." Isn't that a beautiful expression? Oh, to be gathered to your people. Abraham was gathered to his people over in chapter 38 of the same book of Genesis. Chapter 35 of the book of Genesis. Verse 29, "Dear old Isaac." Isaac gave up the ghost, the Bible said, and died. "And was gathered unto his people, being old and full of years. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him." Oh, listen, friend. When you cross over this river, you're going to leave that body behind. Somebody's going to bury it. You'll go in this river with it, but you'll come out without it. Hallelujah. And when you go, you'll be gathered. Oh, Abraham was gathered. Isaac was gathered. Later on in chapter 49, Jacob was gathered. Oh, listen, Genesis chapter 49 and verse 28. "And all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake. This is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them every one according to his blessings. He blessed them and he charged them and he said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that's in the field of Ephraim. Oh, bury me," he said, "over there. Put my body over there. But I'm leaving it when I leave. I'm going to be gathered with my people." Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, gathered to their people. God said to Moses, "You're going to be gathered." I'm sure he couldn't wait to get there. Oh, listen. There's one right here in this very book, Numbers chapter 20. There's one right here in this very book that I'm sure Moses was eager to see again. Oh, to be gathered to his people and see again some that he loved so dearly. You remember Aaron? Aaron chapter 20, Numbers chapter 20 and verse 23, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I've given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah." And so they took him up, you remember, to Mount Hor, and they stripped his garments, and they put them on Eleazar his son. And verse 26, "And Aaron shall be gathered to his people, and shall die there." And he did. Oh, hallelujah. Aaron's already there. Moses was there when he was gathered. Now the word comes from the Lord to Moses. Says, Moses, go up on the mountain. I'm going to let you look over. But then you're going to be gathered. Aaron was there waiting for him. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the fathers, they're already gathered. Oh, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful reality to be gathered with the people of God. Let this be my funeral message. What better epitaph could be written on a man's tombstone than these words, "He's been gathered." Hallelujah. Gathered with the people of God. I wish I could close the message there this morning. I wish we could all just shout and rejoice in the Lord and glory in the anticipation of heaven, and that'd be the end of the message, but it wouldn't be true to the Scriptures. I have to tell you, verse 13 and 14, oh, the pain of it all. Verse 13 and 14, when thou hast seen it, thou shalt be gathered to thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That's the water of Meribah in Kadesh in the wilderness. Oh, here's a painful word. Here's a painful word coming from the Lord. I'm going to let you look over, Moses. I'm going to let you look across and see it. Oh, and then you're going to be gathered. But listen, you're going to die over here because you sinned against me. Oh, the greatest pain. Listen to me. Listen to me, friend. Don't forget I told you this. Read dear old Bunyan again. When he got down in that river, when he got down in that river with Hopeful to cross over, and the Shining Ones couldn't carry him. He had to cross on his own. When he got down in that river, he said, Bunyan said he was thought he would drown. His head went under several times, and he despaired and said, I'll die in this river. I'll never make it across because, he said, my sins will surely pull me under. You listen to me this morning, the greatest pain that will face us as believers in the end will be the remembrance of our failing and sin. The pain, oh, the pain of this word. Moses, you're going to look across, but you sinned. Dear old pilgrim said, I thought I'd drown. Surely Hopeful will make it, but I'll never make it. My sins will pull me under. My friend, when you get ready to face this river and you face the tide, the greatest pain for you will be the remembrance of how you failed Him. How you sinned. Well, did the hymn writer pen these words in our hymn book? He said, we have not known Thee as we ought, nor learned Thy wisdom, grace, and power. The things of earth have filled our thought, and trifles of the passing hour. Lord, give us light, Thy truth to see, and make us wise in knowing Thee. We have not feared Thee as we ought, nor bowed beneath Thy watchful eye, nor guarded deed and word and thought, remembering that God was nigh. We have not served Thee as we ought. Alas, the duties left undone, the work with little fervor wrought, the battles lost or scarcely won. We've not loved Thee as we ought, nor cared that we're loved by Thee. Thy presence we have coldly sought, and feebly Thy face to see. Lord, give a pure and loving heart to feel and know the love Thou art. Oh, listen, my friend. The greatest pain for believers when they face this river will be the remembrance of our sin. But then, if you read old Bunyan, he read him out of the book. Oh, he read him out of the book. And he reminded him, Christ has taken all your sins away. Bunyan says at that point, he found solid ground under his feet. And he walked and he found that the river wasn't very deep at all. And he came out on the other side, left the mortal behind, and stepped out into immortality. Oh, listen, pained we ought to be. Surely at the end, we will have to drink the bitter dregs of the cup of life with this remembrance that I failed. But even in that valley, even in that river, He will not leave us to ourselves. Remember the words again that He said to Moses, you'll experience all of this, but oh, listen, in the end of verse 13, you shall be gathered. He'll not leave us there. How well and how fitting at this moment do I find the words of Psalm 116. Listen to these precious words. Psalm 116 and verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? Oh, I'll take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of His people. Listen, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Oh, Lord, listen, truly, I am Thy servant. I'm sure Moses, long before these words were penned, Moses could have testified these words. Oh, Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I'll offer unto Thee the sacrifice of praise, and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Dear old Moses stood on that mountain. But God had spoken this precious word in his ear. You're not going across with the people because you sinned, but oh, listen, you're going to be gathered. You're going to be gathered. Oh, to be gathered. Not cast out. Isn't that interesting? The contrast between these words and the words that are spoken of the wicked in the book of Revelation. Cast out! Cast out! Cast out into utter darkness! Cast out! What bitter words are they? In the light of this term, gathered to your people. Blessed be God for His great grace. So this morning we've looked at what God said to Moses. Now, Lord willing, next week we'll look again and see what Moses said to God. Turn with me, if you will, in your hymn book,